Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investment themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital, and I'm here with Todd Harper, a friend of mine, as well as the co-founder of Generous Giving, a nonprofit organization that invites people to experience the freedom, the purpose, and joy that can be found in transforming their relationships between God and money. Welcome, Todd. And I will give everybody a heads up. We are sitting with masks on our face to be proactive. I know there's family members that you have got some situations that we will be mindful of. So if we sound a little muffled today, that is, but we are grateful that you're here today with us.
Yes, we are indeed wearing our masks here. So we're abiding by all protocols. Thank you, Jeff, for understanding my family situation.
No problem. All right, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and we'll start off with this one. Give us a little background of who you are so we can get a sense of what you bring to the table. Anything from where you grew up to maybe what your career path has been.
Yeah, so I grew up not far from where you went to college, in the suburbs of Chicago in a town called Naperville. This might be interesting. When I was 18, before I went to college, I got my Series 7 securities license because I was fascinated with all things related to capital from an early age, mainly what I could use that capital for on myself. That was certainly the starting point. But from there, went on to college at Baylor University in Central Texas. Got an entrepreneurship degree because I was interested in ways to really to create capital. And then ended up marrying my college sweetheart while there. And my career path took a little bit of a turn from what I went to college for. So it got a little bit different.
And so what do you mean by that?
So I actually, my wife and I became missionaries, with an organization at the time called Campus Crusade for Christ. It's now known as CRU. And maybe the most interesting part of that journey was we spent 4 years serving in the former Soviet Union, St. Petersburg, Russia, talking with university students about their worldview and what the Bible said. And at a very, you know, in 1992, right after the fall of communism, so it was a very dynamic time, frankly, in their economy, as well as just kind of shifting worldviews. So it was a fascinating time in history to get to be there.
So just walk me through high level. So you did that, and then take us kind of step by step.
After that, we ended up coming back to the States. That's when we moved to Orlando and where you were living, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. I started raising money for CRU, and that kind of brought me into a different world, which led actually to being one of four founders of this organization called Generous Giving, which is really kind of a unique nonprofit that encourages people to be radically generous to the causes they care about. That kind of, for the last really 20 plus years, has given me a window into conversations with people who are wealth creators and how to use capital for good. So this is a very relevant topic and energizing topic for me, actually.
Well, as you know this, you were part of my own journey. I remember being on a bike ride with you once, and we'd had a relationship for some time here, and you were challenging me to think differently, and specifically around this idea of what it means to be a steward of our time, our talent, and our treasure. So I'm grateful for your challenging of me back then. In light of that, how would you best describe where you are at today?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I have recently transitioned from being the president and senior leader of Generous Giving into a role of co-founder, which is giving me more time really to interact with people and less management of the day-to-day operation, which I did for the last 10 years. So this conversation around capital and how it's used and how it can be either a blessing or a curse to its users, if you will, or owners, as well as the beneficiaries of that capital. That's kind of what I spend my time doing, talking about that with families that in many cases, in most cases, have been entrusted with significant capital and are trying to discern some of those kinds of questions. Like, what do we do with this? What's the purpose of this capital? And that can get pretty interesting.
You and I have talked before, and a fair amount of what you do is generosity, which tends to flow more towards philanthropy. Do you have a thought as to how impact investing would fit into your worldview or generosity?
Yeah, I really do. I think there's a huge opportunity for capital to be deployed for human flourishing. And there's all kinds of ways to deploy that capital. And there's all kinds of legitimate means. I mean, philanthropic dollars can accomplish certain things that investment dollars can't. But similarly, investment dollars can accomplish certain things that philanthropic dollars can't. And so this idea of stewardship is really significant in even that question. And there's no one right answer that philanthropic dollars are always the highest good. I would reject that notion. There are many cases in which investment capital is really the best kind of capital, but it depends on the situation and the allocator, really.
All right. So you use the word stewardship, which obviously something that is important to myself and in common good perspective. What does it mean to you to be a steward of your financial resources?
Yeah, I mean, stewardship really simply means that I am not the owner, that I'm managing what has been entrusted to me for the good and benefit of another. You know, my particular worldview is that God is the owner and I'm the steward. And that informs, hopefully that informs all of my financial decisions, really every decision I make around the money that is entrusted to my care is a stewardship decision, whether it's to give it away, with whom to invest it, in what to invest it, how to spend it, who to bless with that. There's an infinite number of questions that get drawn into that question of stewardship, but that fundamental understanding, if I recognize and really live into that reality that it's not mine, that it's for the benefit of others, that changes a lot of decision-making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to go back to the other side of this discussion and say, you've obviously talked about stewardship. Was there a moment in time or a story where the power of capital became real to you or bigger than maybe just for yourself?
I have a friend who's very evangelical, okay, from a faith perspective. And he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, you know, everybody needs Jesus. That's his worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And a job. And there's no way to create jobs. Very rarely can you create jobs without capital. So I have many friends who are business owners. And the way that they think about the capital that they invest and the benefit, the families that benefit as a result of having investment capital available to build and grow and pay wages, that's really what makes the world go round. And the fact that everybody needs a job, I mean, I really believe that. And so the power of capital is fundamental to that story.
Okay, so you have sat in a very unique seat for a number of years at Generous Giving. You've had the ability to talk to individuals probably from all different socioeconomic status, but I'm assuming more so that have capital. Are there any lessons that you can share with us, just what you've learned from dealing with people who are wrestling with this idea of stewardship and the power of capital over the last however many years you've been doing this?
I think one thing that's clearly happening, Jeff, is this notion of a bifurcated world between philanthropic capital and investment capital, and those kind of being disparate. I think what is clearly happening, even the nature of this conversation, of this whole notion of impact investing, is there's lots of gradations between philanthropic capital on one side and purely, you know, kind of economic self-interest. And it's really exciting, actually, to see how this is proliferating in the world. And people are actually thinking differently about their capital. It's not just, I can invest for my benefit or I can give it away. It's, no, maybe I can invest for my benefit and be a blessing and receive a return. And a lot of the people that I'm working with who take stewardship seriously are allocating to various ones of those buckets, you know, and really the people that I have the most respect for, who have thought most deeply about this, are integrating their values into all of their capital allocation, as opposed to kind of the typical, okay, I got S&P 500 index investment and I give money away. There's a whole world of opportunities in between that.
Yeah, you know, my 25 years in the financial services industry, what I would tell you is, well, we do a phenomenal job of helping people come up with their financial goals, whether that's retirement, whether it's, you know, paying for the children's education, whether it's legacy stuff. Then the industry does a great job of thinking about, okay, let's put together a portfolio and make sure that we have this risk and reward in balance. But what you just talked about and what I've seen, there's another layer, and it's how do you then integrate your value system, your passions into this capital that seemingly is going to be sitting there for however long, you know, 20 to 30 years, that can be used for the benefit of others. And it's been fascinating to watch people wake up to this idea that their capital is being used by somebody. And I can tell you personally, the joy and freedom we've felt by not only tracking those investments to see how they're doing, but then also reaping and going, oh my gosh, not only did it make money, but it helped this person, and this person. And so while we talk about impact investing, we tend to talk about where the money is going. I'm actually intrigued on what it does to the heart and psyche of the investor. And I think that it falls in line with generous giving and this idea of stewardship and this idea of generosity. Any comments on that notion?
Yeah, I think what has been incredibly inspiring is getting to see entrepreneurs who are taking stewardship seriously and using their capital to invest for human good or human flourishing. I have a zillion examples, you know, but one example that is really powerful that I know you and I both care a lot about is one of our friends who's started a business in a prison and is providing jobs that pay 20 times the prevailing wage of the state, of what the state pays prisoners, and not only changing their reality and their ability to be able to support their families, but their opportunities coming out of prison. I mean, it's like there's so much positive from that one example that I really desire to see that proliferate. And it's clearly a trend. I mean, many foundations and endowments are moving into this world with kind of program-related investing and impact investing and saying, hey, we've got this capital and there are lots of ways that capital can do good. Let's get more creative about how to go about that. And that's happening because that's working.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the things that I was surprised 5-6 years into this now is how innovative and creative impact investing is. You know, coming from the traditional financial world, you kind of think you got it all and you're like, oh no, this is not child's play. This is not all heart. It is heart. But there's a heavy degree of mind going, how do we think about this stuff differently? And I could give plenty of examples of two of whether it's blended finance deals or whatnot. But to your point, it's highly creative and innovative, and it's exciting to see what's going to happen. I mean, even if you just look at the environment that we live in today, you got COVID, you've got the racial unrest, you've got political unrest, and yet there are investment vehicles out there today that people can actually do to make a difference. I mean, it's one thing to sit in a coffee shop and you and I banter about all the things that are wrong.
Right.
It's another thing to say, no, I'm going to put X amount of dollars and help in affordable housing or help in opportunity zones. And it quickly takes it from, wait, do I really believe this stuff? And am I willing to risk some of my own capital? All right, I'm going to end this question or in the interview on this question. Totally wide open. If you could make one dream come true for your life, what would that be? And by the way, I'm going to take the pressure off. It doesn't have to be the most important. It's just something that comes to the top of your head.
Yeah, well, what we've been doing at Generous Giving for the last 20 years, it's really my dream to see that idea proliferate. This notion of stewardship and really the kind of fundamental Christian idea that Jesus introduced was disadvantaging ourselves for the advantage of another. That's really my dream, is that that would become normative in how I live and how we as people who say they follow Christ live, and that that would be so distinctive that it would be noteworthy and even maybe newsworthy, because Christians actually live differently in such a way that it's benefiting the most number of others. That's really my dream.
Okay, so I guess I lied, because your question was very intriguing, or your answer was very intriguing. Can you give us an example or two of people who are living that out? And what, if you can leave the names out, whatever you want to do, but give some tangible examples of things that you've seen where people are living it out the way you just described.
Yeah, I have a friend who operates a large business with over 1,000 employees, and they have given that business away completely. And they pay themselves a modest salary. They give and invest dramatically to create jobs, to pay families, to invest in projects all over the world. It's a total win-win proposition. And yet it's crazy countercultural, right? I mean, even their advisors, their financial accountants and legal advisors were like, this is crazy. You don't do that. But yet they've been operating this way for more than a decade, and their business is continuing to grow, continuing to bless more and more people. And that's, I want that to proliferate.
Okay, you didn't have to challenge us with that amazing of an example. Yes, that is clearly countercultural to give your business away, receive some modest income. I mean, it doesn't even compute.
But they're living with an extreme view of stewardship. The most compelling part of it is their own countenance. I mean, one of the things I like to say is that I've never met an unhappy, generous person. There is life in giving ourselves away for the sake of others. That's what I'm giving my life to and trying to embody in my own life and family.
Well, just think, if we could capture a little bit of that stewardship mindset today, how I think the United States, the world would be different, and then infuse a lot of that and think about what the world could be. So look, I appreciate your friendship, and you can always challenge me. Don't challenge me with the big ideas like giving away the business, but keep challenging me. I love the stories you have. Look, we really appreciate your insight and knowledge. You've been at the forefront of generosity movement for 20 years. And I think there are so many parallels on the impact side of things, because it does require you to say, I'm a steward of my investment capital, and so I'm going to therefore act and view it differently. Thanks for taking the time. Don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. And please rate us and review us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new listeners find the show and hopefully put them on the path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. I'm Jeff Schaefer, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.